Good evening. You're watching Stockwatch with myself, Nastasia Aronsa. Tackling your questions in studio tonight will be Bright Kumalo from Vestec Asset Management and Chantal Marks from FNB Wealth and Investments. Don't forget to send through those questions to us via SMS to 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Chantal, thank you so much for your time. Bright's going to join us a little bit later, so let's have a ladies' moment for a bit. Your assessment of today's markets activity before we get to the viewers' questions.
Yeah, I mean, today was quite a random day on the markets, kind of oscillating between gains and losses. I think the rand was probably the big story of the day, breaking that 15 rand to the dollar mark, with some unfavorable comments coming out of the Luthuli House earlier this week, just driving kind of investor uncertainty around South Africa. The president released a statement late this afternoon. We did see the rand come back a little bit, but it's still dangerously close to that kind of psychological 15 rand level. And as a result, we've also seen the market reacting quite confused around what the next direction or what the next step is from a South African perspective. Right. We did see some stocks react, they have quite big reactions today or big moves today. I think Sappi is one of those stocks that we should probably chat about.
Yeah.
Down 7%. I mean, it's trading at levels where it last traded, I think around about 2014, when people were wondering whether or not it was going to go out of business.
Yeah.
So, yeah, quite a weird day. And internationally as well, markets started out a little bit stronger. Mm. But again, I mean, just a dovish kind of approach by the ECB and talk about central banks easing monetary policy, quantity easing.
Yes, we learned the new economic stuff.
Not enough to offset fears around trade. And I think this U.S.-Mexico situation or the new Mexico situation or U.S.-Mexico situation, apart from what is already happening between the U.S. and China, really just spooking emerging markets as well. And that's probably why you've seen the rand remain this week.
Yeah. To what extent then have you, I suppose, joined the group of traders or investors who are now optimistic that we will see a Fed cut at some point, seeing that Donald Trump wanted it anyway? So I think he might just be getting his wish, you know, considering these escalating tensions.
Yeah, the thing is that at some point, the U.S. Central Bank has to take cognizance of the fact that the growth profile of the U.S. economy and the global economy has shifted. I think probably mostly because of this trade war and sentiment around it, really just impacting on confidence. Poor confidence is bad for economic growth generally. Yeah. We've seen it come through in the numbers. We've seen trade slow down globally, and they probably won't be able to ignore it for very long. Mm. That being said, the jobs market in the US is still extremely buoyant.
Yeah.
And you have very low inflation. So they might hold off a little while longer, but I think that a cut is definitely a much higher probability than it was a few weeks ago.
Bright, thank you so much for your time this evening. Let's get your take on today's market performance before we deal with some of the questions coming in.
Yes, I mean, we've seen, you know, the rand weakening, like she said, and the rand hedge is basically, you know, shining again, second day in a row. A lot of gold also, you know, with gold, you know, hitting new heights there. It's an explanation of what's happening basically in the economy in South Africa. But most importantly, I heard you guys talked about quantity easing again. I think it's just like, it's all madness, hey, because I don't even think those people know what it means. Yeah, so it's... The central banker, Lesetša Kganyago, put it very clearly that, you know, we don't meet those two criteria that you need for quantitative easing to happen in South Africa. And we should focus on our structural issues.
Yeah.
That's where I think we've got very easy wins. Mm-hmm. And that's where the low-hanging fruit is.
All right. Cool. So the first question that's come in, this Bernie wants to know, what is the panel's view on Omnia?
Oh.
Do you want to take that one?
Yeah, I mean, Omnia is in a pretty tricky position whereby its creditors actually want their money back right now. It's made two pretty large acquisitions at a time when its balance sheet was very comfortable, cash flows were coming in quite nicely, pricing was quite favorable in their market, and unfortunately, they took up a whole lot of debt and pricing turned against them. The businesses that they acquired have been struggling. And because of that, the debt pile didn't necessarily grow by more, but their profitability went down. So a key ratio that these creditors look at when assessing a company is the net debt to EBITDA.
Yeah.
EBITDA being earnings before interest tax and or interest before you know, earnings before interest and tax, basically, and depreciation and amortization, big mouthful.
Yeah.
But that profitability deteriorated. Mm-hmm. And because of that, these ratios that these creditors look at don't look that favorable anymore, and effectively they want their money back. And now Omnia has to come to equity holders,
yeah.
and they have to ask money from equity holders or normal shareholders. And that is very, very, that is a very bad sign. So at this point in time, we don't even have a price at which they are looking to raise capital from equity holders. So I would stay away for now.
Do you have a view on Omnia?
Well, you know, the chairman fell on his sword this morning.
Yeah.
The rightful thing to do because he deceived shareholders saying, you know, a month ago, saying, no, we're not going to come to the market. We don't need any, money. We're comfortable where we are. But remember, Omnia is a commodities player,
yeah.
and commodities are very cyclical. That's why at Vestec, we stay away from them. And this exactly, you know, the worst could happen. You know, the commodity prices went down and the debts, it's still there on the balance sheet. And unfortunately, they couldn't service it with the current cash flows that they had. And they had to come to the market a month later and said, oops. But in that process, they made another oopsie. Didn't tell us what the price was for the rights issue. So that you know, that's a double sword. I don't know. It got slashed twice, basically. And it's all, you know, by their own doing, unfortunately. Number one, you never guarantee anything on your name as a human being. You don't say, you know, you give a promise before it actually things happen, but that's what they did. And then number two, they don't tell us the price. Unfortunately, this is where we are today. Is there value to be seen there? I don't think so. I don't see the commodity cycle changing anytime soon.
The next question is from Nick. He wants to know, what does the panel think of Fortress A?
Okay, so yeah, you've got Fortress A and Fortress B.
Yes.
Different share classes. Fortress A effectively gives you a 5% or inflation-related return if inflation is less than 5%, mm-hmm. so or growth in your dividend or distribution. Fortress B gives you all the rest. So if Fortress as a property company does very well, mm-hmm. Fortress B would be the stock that you would want to own. If it doesn't do particularly well, but you think that the company is a going concern and that they'll be able to pay these Fortress A shareholders, that's probably your better bet.
Yeah.
At the moment, Fortress generally is under a lot of scrutiny and a lot of pressure because of, I think it was last year at the beginning of the year where there was a Viceroy report, it was Resilient Fortress, it was, I think 36ONE had a report, Arkham had a report talking about related party transactions and the fact that these companies may have overstated their NAV because they owned stakes in one another. That seems to be resolving itself to a certain extent, but there is still a little bit of an overhang there. Would I want to own Fortress generally? I'd probably be a little bit less positive at the moment. If I were to choose, I think Fortress A probably is the safer bet because you have certainty in distribution growth, and the yield is quite attractive. So, yeah, it's a difficult one.
You
we're of the view that, you know, the property space is looking very rich right now. It's still, I mean, I know it has come off a cliff somewhat, but the valuations are still not, you know, sustainable. I think they're still very rich right now from where they're sitting us. I wouldn't be touching any property stocks currently, just basically on, you know, on a valuation basis.
All right. Here is something maybe you might be excited about. We don't know. We'll find out. This question is from Sibonego, and he wants to know about multi-choice.
Yeah, I'm excited about MultiChoice.
Yay!
Yes, it was a good unbundling from Naspers, but you look at the company today, most of the growth is not going to come in South Africa. It's mostly going to be the rest of Africa and some of the operations outside of Africa. How long is it going to take? You have to be very patient. Mm-hmm. And at the right price, it definitely is, you know, a very good investment. So be nibbling there is all I can say.
Yeah, I mean, I quite like the stock from a structural point of view. Mm-hmm. I think there's support for pay TV increasing or penetration increasing both in South Africa, where you would think everyone has DSTV, but everyone does not in fact have DSTV. And in the rest of Africa business had like a perfect storm over the last 2 years. So it could recover off a pretty undemanding base, so you could see some really nice upside there near term. It's a more risky kind of upside story.
Yeah.
And I mean, the more we looked at MultiChoice, the more we liked it, because at the beginning we were thinking, no man, Netflix is going to come in, it's going to eat its lunch. But ultimately, MultiChoice's value proposition is around sport that no one else can afford to air, mm-hmm. and local content. And they are absolutely leading in terms of developing local content, and not only in South Africa, but outside of SA too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then it becomes a question about valuation. This thing was a certain buy at $90 on the second day after it was unbundled from Naspers. But at, where's it trading now?
123.
Yeah. I put fair value around 130 rand at the moment, so approaching fair value. Mm-hmm. If you're willing to hold it for quite a long time, I'd be comfortable buying right now, but it doesn't look cheap.
Okay. The next question is from Anthony, and he wants to know, can your panel give their view on the Rand as it's tankering? And also touch on Quilter. Is it a good offshore company, rather, to invest in? Who wants to take on the Rand question, your view on the Rand, and the Quilter question?
The Rand is cheap.
That's my view.
Yeah.
Okay. And Quilter, is it a good offshore company to invest in?
Sure, you take that.
Yeah, I mean, a Quilter is quite an interesting one because it's a play on the changing dynamics in the UK personal finance and wealth management space. There's been quite a few legislative changes in that market, mm-hmm. which makes financial advice a very attractive kind of space. Okay. The problem is that you have a load of uncertainty in the UK at the moment, mm-hmm. around Brexit and the future of that economy generally, which would not be supportive of kind of being in the wealth management space. In the wealth management space, I feel like I'm saying space a lot. but Quilter is certainly a leader when it comes to wealth management, when it comes to platforms, and when it comes to solutions. And they're also vertically integrated, so they can take a lot of cost out of it, and that makes it an attractive business. Whether or not it's attractively priced, again, this company looks like it's kind of trading around fair value. So it depends on what your views are on how Brexit is going to turn out and what markets are going to do. The stock will do well when markets do well.
Yeah, and currently you look at, you know, in terms of unemployment globally and where the stock market is globally, we're not going to double or triple from here. We're most likely to go down from here.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be rushing to go buy that one.
All right. Well, after the break, we'll be back more answering your questions. We'll talk about Vodacom, Sasol, and some U.S. stocks that I'm sure Bright might have an opinion on. Remember to keep sending through your questions via SMS to 41392 or email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za. Welcome back. Taking a look at the market's picture. Starting off with things in the U.S., green across the board with the NASDAQ up 0.5%. And it's a mixed picture in Europe with the markets closing like that and the FTSE up 0.5%. Well, still in studio with me is Bright Kumalo from Vestec Asset Management and Chantal Marks from F&B Wealth and Investments. So we've answered some email questions, SMS questions. We have to get to Twitter. And Mohammed wants to know your thoughts on Stadio.
Yeah, so I mean, Stadio is a stock that I actually really like from a fundamental perspective. I think in South Africa, we have a major shortage when it comes to higher education options. Mm-hmm. They are particularly strong in the arts, which is an area where the robots cannot replace your job. Yeah. So it's something that I really like. Okay. Also in fashion design, education, so they train teachers. And they're also looking to open up medical schools and nursing schools. Mm. They also play in engineering and now in business as well through an acquisition of a company called Southern Business School. So it's kind of a private university type vibe. And I think that there is significant scope for growth in the South African context. We know that a lot of kids who get matric exemption end up not being able to go to university, particularly in the first year after they leave school. Right. And your probability of going to university after that first year declines if you don't actually go. Also, the cost options are quite wide, and there are distance learning options as well, which also makes it cheaper to study. Mm. So fundamentally, I like it. I think it looks quite cheap. It broke even earlier than expected. So that's the Stadio story.
Is Stadio one that you look at?
or like?
I like Stadio for mostly the similar reasons, and I think the market is very fragmented. So yeah. I think the same management, what they did with Caro, they're going to do in that private schooling space in terms of tertiary. So I like Stadio a lot. But I want to actually add, in terms of arts, they actually have done a few things with their Monte Carlo simulation where they've put in a lot of poems in there and philosophy stuff in there. And actually, the computer sounded very smart and sounded very, very dreamy. So actually, philosophy and poetry, maybe not so much.
Yeah.
But the other arts are definitely, you can't really, you know, substitute human beings for that.
Seeing that the next questions are around property, and you said property is something that you're not quite too keen on, maybe Chantel wants to answer this one. It's on Baldwin Properties and Gritshare Real Estate.
What?
Grit. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Baldwin Properties, they kind of focus on development and now recently, more recently, rentals in that 900,000 rand to 1.3 million rand cluster development space. You'll see their beautiful kind of estate-like developments pop up everywhere.
If you drive by the highway, you'll see them.
You'll see them. The stock has been absolutely decimated over the last few years. Mm. A big part of this is that market has seen a lot of strain come through as kind of middle income consumers or buyers opt for rentals instead of actually purchasing property. And it's become quite expensive to build in South Africa as well.
Yeah.
Particularly when you consider existing property and what those prices have been doing. So they've been under a bit of pressure. The stock does not look expensive, but I saw today in the press, they apparently built a development over some sort of a gas or petrol pipeline in the south. And there's a lot of questioning around town planning and whether or not money exchanged hands there. So even though the stock looks cheap, and I think it's an attractive space longer term because supply in housing in South Africa is a problem, I'd hold off for now.
Yeah, I think...
He was just shocked about the whole gas pipeline
The gas pipeline, oh my God, how do you do that? How is it safe for the people that are living there? No, I think the stock is looking very cheap, like she's saying, but the biggest problem we have with Baldwin is that management is not really good communicators. Mm-hmm. Maybe they should hire someone who's actually a specialist and is good at that. Maybe they could, you know, sell the narrative a bit better to us analysts and maybe we'll understand the company a bit better. But yeah, I've got nothing to add.
Lucas wants to know your thoughts on Vodacom and Sasol.
Vodacom. Vodacom, you know, they've somehow managed to survive all of these landmines in terms of the regulators where they operate, because they didn't operate in Nigeria, for example, in other countries like, you know, I forgot now this country next to Nigeria, basic, not Togo, but the other country that's, you know, finding MTN and the likes. They seem to be doing fine, but, you know, I don't know how long that is going to go, but not so long ago, MTN was around 160, 157, and, you know, it tanked for no reason. Because we look at, you know, the growth, it's still there. They're growing their subscribers.
Yeah.
You know, everything is going well, and Kenya and Tanzania is doing very well. So I sort of kind of like it, but I wouldn't rush out to go buy it right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of disruption in that industry, and you know, Elon Musk is busy, you know, sending things to space to compete with these guys. And it only takes a very few satellites to actually compete with these guys. But I'm very, you know, it's a very hard one to navigate right now. I don't know how long it's going to take for Elon Musk and his crew to take these guys out of business. But it's still a very big, you know, problem for me. It lingers in the mind. I can't sleep at night holding these.
Do you then have the same sentiments around Cecil, where you can't sleep at night because you're not sure what's going to happen,
well,
or are you optimistic?
There's
on
a price for everything, isn't
yeah.
there?
Yeah.
So at the moment, at this price, I will sleep yeah. comfortably.
I'll go in now, yeah.
Yes, if you go in now, you'll be sleeping comfortably.
Yeah.
The stock looks incredibly run down. Louisiana is basically valued at zero at the moment.
Most probably because it is zero or negative.
Well, it's zero or negative as long as base chemical prices remain this low. But the reality is that base chemical prices have been extremely low for quite some time. And the likelihood of it remaining that low is low.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons that Sasol is also under a bit of pressure is because of recent weakness in the oil price. But then again, it should get some sort of support from a weaker rand. And it's not that correlated to the oil price anymore. And even if you take into consideration spot oil, it still looks cheap. So odds are that earnings are probably going to come in at a little bit lower than expected,
mm-hmm.
but that places the stock on like a 7x forward PE. You've got a 5.5% dividend yield. It just looks attractively priced at the moment.
Yeah, Coleman and the P's at 3.
Yeah.
So the next question is from Charles, and he wants to know your view on Invicta. And the question is, why is it performing so poorly now that the tax risk is out of the way?
Yeah, Invicta is actually a stock that I don't really cover. I don't know if you have any views on Invicta.
Well, that's fine.
Sorry, Charles.
We can try again next week. I'm sure there'll be a guest that looks at Invicta. Charles, please do send in your question again. The next one is on Tongaat.
Okay, stay away. I would not touch Tongaat, the
yes.
barge pole. So, I mean, the main thing is that we know that there's been a misstatement in the financial statements. Once these guys start mucking around with the books, that's when you need to be extremely concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Tongaat is not nearly at the level, I reckon, of a, dare I say it, Steinhoff.
Yeah.
Because they're not over-leveraged, they haven't made huge acquisitions and all the rest of it. They are facing severe challenges
mm-hmm.
in their sugar business, mainly because of industry stuff. It's not even internal stuff. And this overstatement is just, it just looks extremely bad. And
right.
it makes the company, it just makes them look like they can't be trusted, even if the CEO is gone. It's not only him.
Yeah, well, he's not the one who's doing the day-to-day accounting of all of these things. So, there's a whole number of, you know, accountants doing these things on the daily, so we don't even know where the root cause is. I'd stay away as well.
So she mentioned the word trust, and a couple of days ago we had Jean-Pierre Foster here and Nessa Naya, and the question I asked them was, when it comes to trust, where's that barometer sitting for you guys now, especially with all of these companies having...
I don't trust anything. Yeah, I don't trust anything.
Is that skepticism or cynicism?
No, it's higher past skepticism. Yeah,
okay,
I don't trust anything. I just look at price these days.
Yes, and that's the way you should approach it. Look
yep.
at valuation
yep.
and then assign a probability of whether or not that valuation is at all reasonable.
Put a discount of 30%, 50%, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, because in South Africa at the moment, we're sitting in a position where trust has absolutely been decimated
yeah.
between investors and business. And it's not only there, it's normal South Africans and our government institutions. It's normal South Africans and the private sector. It's everyone, no one is trusting each other at the moment, and that is why you have an investment stalemate. But that's why you have no consumer confidence.
This is not only unique to South Africa, you know, it's prevalent everywhere you invest.
Yeah.
It's in the US, it's in Australia, it's in Japan. It's you just focus on what your moral is saying. Don't, you know, think too much about what management is about to do or how many PhDs they have there.
Okay, then, well, let's focus on your stock pick. Let's start off with you.
Yes, it's Beyond Meat. So I'm going short Beyond Meat.
Okay.
I think the stock is, you know, it's overrun. It's like Bitcoin. So these guys make the Beyond Burger, which is a burger made from, I don't know, wheat-based material and all sorts of plants. Their argument is that basically their market is not people who are vegetarians or the likes. Their market is us, people who want to eat less meat.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the product. I think the problem is just the valuation. It's beyond, unfortunately. And at some point, it's going to come down. It's going to unwind to realistic expectations.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at their quarterlies, all it takes is just one miss, and this company is going to be flying down. So I'm short Beyond Meat.
Chantel?
Yeah, so I would be a buyer of Coronation Fund managers at these levels. So even though there is an expectation that volatility in equity markets are likely to persist, mm-hmm. the reality is, again, everything has its price. And from a valuation perspective, the stock really looks compelling at the moment. So when you look at an asset manager, we use a ratio called the price to assets under management.
Mm-hmm.
This stock is trading at like a 13-year low in terms of its price relative to assets under management. We think that most of the major outflows out of Coronation is probably behind the stock for now. And even though we do need a little bit of a tailwind from the South African equity market, and we're unsure around when that will actually occur,
mm-hmm.
you get a 7.8% dividend yield while you wait. So I think it's a good time to enter Coronation.
All right, well, let's leave it there. Thank you so much to my guests. That's Bright Kamalo from Vestec and Chantel Martz from F&B Wealth and Investments. We take more of your stock-related questions next week. Have a good evening. Let's focus on your stock pick. Let's start off with you.
Yes, it's Beyond Meat. So I'm going short Beyond Meat.
Okay.
I think the stock is, you know, it's overrun. It's like Bitcoin. So these guys make the Beyond Burger, which is a burger made from, I don't know, wheat-based material and all sorts of plants. Their argument is that basically their market is not people who are vegetarians or the likes. Their market is us, people who want to eat less meat.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the product. I think the problem is just the valuation. It's beyond, unfortunately. And at some point, it's going to come down. It's going to unwind to realistic expectations.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at their quarterlies, all it takes is just one miss, and this company is going to be flying down. So I'm short Beyond Meat.
Chantel?
Yeah, so I would be a buyer of Coronation Fund managers at these levels. So even though there is an expectation that volatility in equity markets are likely to persist,
mm-hmm.
the reality is, again, everything has its price. And from a valuation perspective, the stock really looks compelling at the moment. So when you look at an asset manager, we use a ratio called the price to assets under management.
Mm-hmm.
This stock is trading at like a 13-year low in terms of its price relative to assets under management. We think that most of the major outflows out of Coronation is probably behind the stock for now. And even though we do need a little bit of a tailwind from the South African equity market, and we're unsure around when that will actually occur,
mm-hmm.
you get a 7.8% dividend yield while you wait. So I think it's a good time to enter Coronation.
All right, well, let's leave it there. Thank you so much to my guests. That's Bright Kamalo from Vestec and Chantel Martz from F&B Wealth and Investments. We take more of your stock-related questions next week. Have a good evening.